Today, as we continue working our way through Acts, we're talking about an up-close God. And after being chased out of Thessalonica and Berea for preaching the good news about Jesus, the Apostle Paul, he spent a few days in Athens. Now, I'm not sure what Athens looks like today. I've never been there. But back in that day, in Paul's time, it was a favorite place for philosophers, for debaters. They loved to hang out there. The city had lots of temples and altars and these statues where people could go and worship whatever god that they thought would bring them the most favor or the most fortune. Well, Paul, he began talking with the people in downtown Athens and over there in the synagogue, telling them the good news about Jesus. Now, they saw that he was a Jew who served the God of the Old Testament, you know, Yahweh, Jehovah himself. And the idolatry that was in the city, it really bothered Paul because that is one of the primary sins that caused Israel to go into captivity. However, Paul began sharing with the people about his life-changing encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. That Jesus had been executed, but then he came back to life. And even to these superstitious Athenians, the claim of someone coming back from the dead, it was difficult for them to comprehend. Paul attracts enough attention from these people that they finally ask him to come and to speak about his beliefs to a large group of them. This morning, I want us to look at what it was that Paul had to say to those people on that day. And one of the most important truths that Paul spoke was this: God is close, but he wants to get closer. If that's all you remember from the rest of this day, please remember that. God is close to you, but he wants to get so much closer. The up-close God, he wants you to get close to him if you are willing. The Bible reveals to us a personal God. I want to look at God today and how personal he is and how close he is to us. I want to give you a little bit of foundation work as we work our way through Acts chapter 17. We're going to finish it up today. We're going to begin at verse 16 through verse 21. I'm going to read it for you right now as it gives us the foundation, and then we'll get into the rest of it later. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Now, the first thing that we get as we get into our scripture is that getting close to God, it requires more than religion. So at verse 22, it says, "Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, 'People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: To an unknown God.'" Now, a person, they might be very religious, but they never really come close to God. Religion, it can serve many agendas. Some people use religion as a therapy to make them feel good about themselves. Others use it as a way to make money so that they can worship their real God, which is wealth. Now, some use religion for power or influence that they might be able to gain over people. Look at Simon the sorcerer from a few months ago. He wanted more control over people, and so he tried to see if he could buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. People have even murdered other people in the name of religion, either thinking that they were doing God a favor or they were simply eliminating the competition. But the point is this: religion alone will not save you. Christianity, it is not about religion. It is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Religion is about doing whatever it takes to make a person worthy, to be acceptable to God. All these man-made religions, they fall short on that. Only a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ is what makes us acceptable to God. Religion, it does not take away sin. Only faith in Jesus Christ does that. So if you are worshiping an unknown God, or do you know God? Do you know him personally? Is he simply a force to be reckoned with? Or do you really want to know him? Do you really want to draw close to him? See, being religious is not enough to get us close to God. Our next point shows that we need to know the truth about God in order to get to know him. So let's take a look at what God is really like through Paul's words to these people in Athens. And I'm changing from the way I've been practicing all week, because all week long I had the message and I had the scripture verses kind of broken down to sections. But I want to read it for you. So I'm going to open my Bible. You can open yours if you want. I'm going to read it all the way through what Paul had to say, the second part of verse 23 through verse 31. It just didn't seem to have good flow as I was doing it, so I'm changing. And then we'll talk about what Paul had to say. It says, "Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Now here's a quick overview, 8 points, 8 truths that Paul gave to those people in Athens on that day. The very first one is that God created everything. Whatever forms of microevolution might be taking place out there, all of the raw materials, they came from God. God created all of them. God provides for us. And the pinnacle of God's creation was man. And yet man rebelled from God. And God found a way to draw men back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. He reached out to us through his son. The second truth is that God is totally self-sufficient. God does not need anything from mankind. He is complete in himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is complete. It is beyond our complete understanding. God did not create man out of necessity for companionship or for any other necessity. Revelations actually tells us that we were created for God's pleasures. God is complete. He is totally self-sufficient. He does not need anything from man. This can be seen a little bit more in the next phrase, the next truth. And that is that he gives life and breath and everything else to mankind. See, there is nothing that man can give to God that God has not already given to man. God is the source. He is the ultimate source. The fourth truth that Paul shared on that day was that God is the divine strategist. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And we'll get to that in just a couple moments. The fifth truth was that he is not far from any one of us. I think this is one of the most exciting truths that Paul actually shared on that day. You see, he's not speaking to Christians here. He's not speaking to Jewish believers. He is speaking to these pagan philosophers, the Stoics, the Epicureans. This is Paul's very first exposition of the gospel to an audience of people who have no background in the Old Testament theology or in any Jewish thought. The Stoics, they were pantheistic, believing that God was in everything. You know, God is all and all is God. They were opposed to self-indulgence and pleasure. Now, the Epicureans, on the other hand, they lived for enjoyment. They lived for fulfillment. They did not deny that the deities existed, but they saw them as being very far away, very unconcerned about the affairs of men. So Paul tells these people that God set up things so that men would seek after him. And not only would they be able to seek after him, but that they would find him. Although he's not far from each and every one of us. Now, many people seem to have adopted the Epicurean view. You know that somehow God created the world, this blue globe that we live in. And then he went off and he's doing his own thing out there. But that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us that God is here with us. And if you are a Christ follower, then you have probably experienced that in your own life. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." He's not far from any of us. He is here with us today. The sixth truth that Paul shared on that day is that God is so much more than man's grandest idea of him. Think of your best idea of what God is like, and he is far more than that. See, over the ages, men have created these idols of gold, of silver, of stone. Many of them are beautiful beyond imagination. And yet they all fall pathetically short of how grand, how majestic God actually is. And that is why he told his people not to make any images in his likeness. Only a living being that is created in the image of God is capable of showing us what God is like. And that is mankind. And as Christians, we have been given the charge to show people exactly what God is like so that they can desire to know him and get to know him for themselves. So let's not limit God by trying to squeeze him into our idea of what he is. But Paul also shared on that day that in the past, God has overlooked our ignorance. But now he requires repentance. The time for ignorance has passed. Now that Jesus, the Messiah, has come and the age of the kingdom has come, man can no longer plead ignorant regarding God's requirements for us. And what is it that God requires? He requires repentance from every wrong deed. He requires a change in the posture of our heart. See, rather than arrogantly thinking that we can handle it without God, that we can make it without him, he wants us to humble ourselves before him. Ask him to forgive us of the mess that we've made of our lives. See, we need to acknowledge that we need his help. And finally, on that day in the Areopagus, Paul shared the last truth that he had, and that was that one day God will judge the world by the man that he has raised from the dead. Now, nobody really likes to talk about the judgment. However, we lie to ourselves and to others if we somehow pretend that God will not judge each and every one of us. Every single person one day will have to stand before God and give an account of his or her life. And when that day comes, will you be able to say that you lived your life for Jesus following after him? Or that you lived your life for yourself? You lived your life just for the world. See, according to the Bible, there are a lot of really nice people who will be going to hell. Doing a lifetime of good deeds is not enough for you to earn your way into heaven. Nothing we can do that. We can only get there by trusting in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us by taking our sins on his own body and dying in our place. See, these are some of the truths that we find in the Bible. These are the truths that Paul shared with those people on that day. But you see, however, in not only holding us accountable, God also wants to hold us close. Because getting close to God is exactly what he wants from us. God arranged things so that people would try to find him. That they would actually not only try to find him, but that they would be able to do so. Now, people in the past, they've tried to do it by making these images of stone or of precious metal, but that's not where God can be found. He is in control. He put people in the right place at the right time so that they could hear the gospel. The good news about Jesus, that they would have an opportunity to receive Jesus. And the enemy, he tries to thwart God's plans. But God is so much of a better strategist than Satan ever is. Satan is clever, there's no doubt about it. But God outclasses him infinitely in every single way. God will always have the last word. He is omniscient, knowing everything, and he is infinitely wise. And in God's wisdom, he has made himself accessible to us. He does not want us to just go out and seek him and to search for him, but he wants us to actually be able to find him. And yet he's not far from each and every one of us. See, God doesn't take pleasure. He's not playing some kind of game with us, this hide and seek, where we go out and look for him, but we don't find him. He's actually, if you want, hiding in plain sight. He wants us to find him. But if God just threw himself at us, then we would not recognize him as the powerful king of the universe that he is. We would not recognize him for his majesty and his grandeur. Something that you have to look for that is worth finding. That is who God is. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." The final thing for this morning is that getting close to God will never happen without this requirement. And that is because getting close to God, it begins with repentance. In verse 30 through verse 34, it says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." Now, when they heard this, they heard about the resurrection of the dead. Some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Demarius, and a number of others. You see, at this point in Paul's talk to the people, he's lost a good majority of the audience. When he started talking about resurrection and life after death, let alone this judgment, that somehow repentance is required. As soon as Paul starts talking about this man Jesus, he lost the majority of the people. But Paul got three responses on that morning, on that day. The first response was that some people just wrote him off as being crazy, as being a lunatic. The second response is that some people wanted to know more. They kind of liked what he was saying. They were interested, and they just wanted more information. And then there was the third response, and that was that some people believed what Paul was saying about God and how he is close and how he wants us to be close to him. And they repented. They turned and they changed their lives. They began seeking after God. Some of them began following Peter, following Paul and listening to him. See, repentance is absolutely necessary if you ever want to get close to God. The reason that human beings struggle so much with it is because repentance requires a death blow to our own pride. We have to die to ourselves so that something even greater can grow. None of us really likes to say, hey, I was wrong. None of us want to admit, I've messed things up. I've sinned against God. I need your help, God. And yet that's exactly what God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear it from our mouths and see it in our hearts. Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. A broken and repentant heart, O God, you will not despise. Hopefully you, through this and through Paul's speaking, you've been able to see that God is close to us. He is right here, right now. He wants to be close to you. And yet he needs you to reach out to him first. It can improve our quality of life. It makes us better people when we're following after God. The question is, what will your story be? Will you be like some of those who heard Paul on that day? And yet you had no further interest in the things of God or of Jesus Christ? You just go on with your own life, do your own thing? Or you'll be like those who heard about it. And they were interested, but they just wanted more information. You know, not yet, I'm not there yet. Or will it be like those who heard the truth and knew that somehow they needed to know their Creator? They needed to know the God of the universe. And they accepted him. They reached out for him, and they were able to find him. God is close. He's close to each and every one of us. The question is, would we be willing to draw close to him and to reach out for him?